Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a message that I recently shared with our church family at Holt Assembly of God. Mankind has a spiritual enemy, and the Bible says that he roams around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. His strategy is to steal, kill, and destroy. And one way he attempts to accomplish his strategy is by establishing footholds in our lives. In today's message, I want to encourage you to identify possible areas in your life where Satan may be attempting to establish a foothold. The Bible says, "Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world." If a foothold has been established in your life, its power can be broken as we yield ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of footholds. And so what is a foothold? And a foothold is not what you think, like where people climb, use it on a climbing wall. That's not kind of the kind of foothold I'm talking about. A foothold is a position usable as a base for further advance. On June the 6th, 1944, more than 160,000 Allied forces invaded a 50-mile stretch of French shoreline for the purpose of establishing a foothold in German-occupied territory. The Allied command identified 50 miles of French coastline that would be ideal to establish a foothold in enemy-held territory. That 50 miles of coastline was divided into five sectors. Some of you know those names: Utah, Omaha, Gold, Juneau, and Sword. Each was a sector, a place where we would advance massive amounts of troops and equipment to bring ashore under heavy gunfire. By the end of the first day, the idea was to do this. The strategy was to invade that shoreline, all five sectors coming together, capturing their sector, and then joining together, linking together, establishing that foothold across the shoreline. But by the end of the first day, only Gold Beach and Juneau Beach were linked together. But nonetheless, a foothold had been established. On May 8th, 1945, less than one year of that invasion, Germany officially surrendered to the Allied forces, ending the war in Europe. Of course, we understand the war in Asia went on. A foothold had been established. A foothold. Ephesians 4:25. It says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Verse 26, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." Place, that word place, it's translated a number of different ways in different translations. Sometimes it's as a foothold, a place, or an opportunity. So give no place to the devil. Give no foothold to the devil. Church, we have a real enemy, amen? We have a real enemy, and he's the devil. 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant," because what? Your adversary, your enemy, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. As believers belonging to the army of God, we are called to advance the kingdom of God. And that's our spiritual mission. We have a mission to advance God's kingdom, not only in this world, but also through our lives. You know, sometimes when we look at advancing the kingdom of God, we think about it as just only preaching the gospel, but that's not the case. We are to advance the kingdom of God in our own lives, because right here in our own lives, there's a battle going on. There is a battle being waged, and we have an enemy, and he is the devil. And that's why Scripture admonishes us to be sober, to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. A lion roars in his own territory, and he mainly does it in the evening. And he lets everybody know that's his place, that is his spot. And he's announcing to all, "I'm bigger than, badder than all of you. And if you want to come find me, here I am. Try to take me on." And when you think of it that way, Satan is our adversary, and he roars. And he's roaring in a territory. And you know what? The territory that he's trying to claim, or what he feels is his, is right here. This is the main territory. This is the battlefield. The battlefield, yes, is the world, but the battlefield is right here with us, within us. On the morning of June 6, 1944, the early light of dawn, it revealed to the occupying Germans they had a big problem on their hands. Coming across the English Channel was this huge armada of ships and amphibious units that were coming across. Rather than seeing that armada come across and tuck and tail and running inland, they did not. They were dug in. They were embedded. They just fortified everything. And they were prepared for an invasion coming somewhere. But rather than tuck and tail and run, they just dug in and they defended that territory tooth and nail, and we basically had to just eradicate them, remove them physically from that place. Satan is the same way. He's not going to give up by when we just show up. Matthew 16, 18, this is Jesus saying, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church," and what? "And the gates of Hades," or the gates of hell, "shall not prevail against it." Our posture should be offensive, amen? Our posture should not be defensive. I mean, Jesus is very clear about that. Advancing the kingdom of God, we should advance it to the gates of hell, and the gates, they're locked behind it, they're fortified, but it should not prevail against the kingdom of God. Hell should be in a defensive position, trying to hold on for dear life, for the kingdom of God advancing against it. But is this our spiritual reality? Is this our spiritual reality in our community, in our daily lives? Our enemy is fortified. He's fortified in our culture, and he's fortified in our flesh. But we should be advancing the kingdom of God towards him. We are instructed to bring the fight to the devil. Satan has advanced his kingdom. He has fortified himself in areas of our lives because here's why: we've allowed him to do so. We've allowed Satan to establish footholds in our lives. Too many of us, listen to me, find ourselves in defensive modes when we should be offensive. Why? Why is that? Because we've allowed the enemy to have a foot in the door. We've allowed him to establish a foothold. Paul writes to the Ephesian believers, again, back on the main text where I was. He admonishes them not to give the devil an opportunity. An opportunity to establish a foot in the door. Look, let's go back to the text, just kind of read it. And let's kind of get the context of it here, because I think it's something that's important for us to understand. Go back and read verse 25. "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor." Speaking truth to one another is important, amen? It's very important to be honest with each other. "For we are members of one another." Verse 26, "And be angry and do not sin." So the emotion of anger is not incorrect. It's how we handle it, all right? It's how we handle that anger. "Be angry and do not sin." Do not let, and this is the important part right here, "and do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." The Ephesian believers were given Satan an opportunity to gain a foothold in their lives because they had pent-up anger. Boy, that is a message we need to listen to in our nation right now. There's a lot of pent-up anger in our nation. Paul warns the church, and in order to keep Satan from gaining a spiritual advantage in their lives, we must deal with that anger without sinning. In order to combat a foothold from being established, Paul tells the Ephesians not to allow the sun to set in a situation that requires reconciliation. Paul says if you have an issue with someone, don't go to bed upset, correct? If we allow anger to come in, if we allow animosity to come in, and we go to bed, we give that thing time to fester, to grow, to kind of percolate in our, you know, it's amazing when you're left alone what your feelings, what you think. It's amazing what your mind will do. We can have all kinds of blanks in a dialogue, but when we are allowed to sit on it and think upon it, we'll fill in all those blanks. He said, she said, or could have said, or might have said. That's why the scripture is adamant about taking care of it immediately, as quickly as possible. It doesn't call us to necessarily solve it in a day, but it calls us to attempt to solve it. Are you following me? Why? Why are we called? Because Satan will gain an advantage, a strategic advantage, if we don't act upon it quickly, and he will use it to his advantage. Church, loving God, loving people, isn't that not the two basic commands of Christianity? But those two commands are going to be under constant fire. Anger and lies may have been the issue for Paul. Specifically, that's what he's addressing. But hear me, that's not the only thing that gives Satan a foothold in our lives. I think we understand that that Paul's writing this, a letter specifically to this church, but how it applies to us is this, that there are footholds that exist. There are areas in our lives that we can open the door to Satan, and he can gain a foothold in that place. It goes beyond just dealing with anger. Nor give place to the devil. That word place in the Greek is a word that's topos, and it means a portion or a space marked off from a surrounding space. Basically, what it is a space within a space, an area within an area. He is fine with just having a place, because if he has a place, he can get his foot in the door, and with his foot in the door, he can have a greater access. The enemy of our soul, he seeks just a small place. Satan is just fine with a little square inch. But listen, he's not going to be satisfied with that square inch. You give him an inch, he'll take a foot. That word place, when you think about it throughout Scripture, that same word is used, and it's used in an interesting scripture, Matthew 12:43. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. Same word, same use. Dry places. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell therein. Jesus is basically saying this, that when a spirit's cast out of a person and it leaves that place, it seeks another place. If that spirit does not find another place, it returns to the place where it came from. If it finds that place inadequately, it returns with seven other spirits more wicked than itself. Listen, I'm not trying to stir up fear and animosity, but there is a reality that we need to deal with. I want to encourage you as believers. I don't want to stir up animosity here. I just want us to pay attention. There is a real devil. There is a real enemy. We are his target. And his idea is this, to get his foot in the door if he can. Have you ever had someone slam a door in your face or try? Have you ever been chasing kids especially and they're running from you and the first thing they do is they'll take that door and they'll try to slam it? Now, as I got older, I understood that I couldn't outrun them sometimes. So what I did was I'd outsmart them and I'd just put my foot in the door. They couldn't close the door with my foot in the door. Have you ever done that before? I mean, you have the leverage, correct? I mean, they can push, they can bend, they can ply against that door, but as long as you stay firm in that foot, that door stays open. It's exactly what Satan wants to do in our lives. He just wants to get a foot in the door. Satan is looking for a way to gain advantage in our lives, and if you don't think so, look at John 10:10. The thief does not come to what? To steal, kill, and destroy. If Satan can gain a foothold in our lives through disobedience, he will. Willful sin, fleshly procrastination, embracing the flesh, embracing this world, he will not be satisfied with that foothold. He wants a stronghold. He wants a stronghold. What is a stronghold? A stronghold is defined as a place that has been fortified so as to protect it against attack. A foothold gives Satan an opportunity to fortify and to create a stronghold. When we are advancing the gospel, living according to the Spirit, resisting the flesh, resisting the world, we're in offensive mode. But when we become complacent, when we begin to come a little bit slack in our walk with God, and that's when our defenses tend to go up, and that's the time where he seeks to establish a foothold. And if he can have a foothold in our lives, he wants to fortify himself and create a stronghold. A stronghold is a fortified position. Look at Romans 8:38-39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love that is in God, that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hell is powerless to repossess. Amen? I'm going to say that again. Hell is powerless to repossess our souls, our spirit. Are you following me? He's powerless to do so. What he has lost to the kingdom of God, Satan cannot take anyone out of God's kingdom. But Satan is not powerless to attack. He's not powerless to persecute. He's not powerless to bring oppression. And he's not powerless to bring temptation. Listen, he is very powerful in those areas, but he can't take anyone from God's kingdom and place them back in his kingdom. Are you following me? That's not what I was trying to say earlier. But he can. He'll seek to steal if you allow him to steal. He'll seek to take a lot if you just allow him. Satan cannot steal our salvation. Nothing can remove us from our relationship with God, only ourselves. I have some good news for you, church. John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is what? Greater than he that is in the world." Thank God for that. Amen? The one who is in you is greater than the one who is pressuring you. The one that is in you is greater than the one who persecutes. The one who is in you, who is for you, is greater than the one that is in this world and it is against you. The one who is in you, preserving you, is greater than the one who seeks to destroy you. From a biblical point of view, a Christian, a born-again believer, cannot be possessed. I mean, a lot of Christians that feel that way, but I would just say this. If they are possessed, then they never belong to God in the first place. And I don't care how many times they prayed the prayer or what kind of life they live. You can't be possessed by the Holy Spirit and possessed by a demon. What fellowship does light have with darkness? Now, with that said, he does have the power to oppress, to bring on offense against a defensive position, to siege, to lay siege, to surround. He does have the power to do so. The children of God, listen, God is for us, not against us. The one that is in us is greater than the one who is against us. That's why Paul says, give no place to the devil. That means this, that we can give place to the devil. We can give him opportunities. And I believe the best defense is a good offense, amen? And there are times in our walk with God where Satan is pressuring us and he is looking to establish a foothold. And I believe there are some of you today that are under great pressure in areas of your life, and that's exactly what the enemy is trying to do. He is trying to establish a foothold in your life. Is he being successful? Let's go back to that verse that we opened up with. I'm back to the context of it. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. And I'm going to say this. Now, I'm not saying that every disobedient act leads to spiritual oppression, because it doesn't. Not every disobedient act leads to oppression, but I am saying this, that blatant disobedience, catering to our flesh, will give Satan an opportunity to gain a foothold in our life. Listen, if you are angry, hear me please. If you are angry with another person and refuse to correct that situation biblically, it can become a foothold. And that foothold of anger can result in a stronghold of offense and bitterness. A foothold of anger can become a stronghold of offense or bitterness. Let me give you another example. If you have an issue with lust and you allow your thoughts the freedom to roam, a foothold of lustful thinking can become a stronghold of sexual immorality. Footholds lead to strongholds. The Old Testament refers to the presence of God as a stronghold, doesn't it? There's a counterfeit. Oh, Satan always has a counterfeit. See, the stronghold in the Old Testament is the presence of God, to run to it, to find freedom, to find peace, to find shelter. But that's exactly what the stronghold in the soul does. It offers your flesh, this is what you want, this is what you feel, this is what you think, this is comfort. It offers a counterfeit. But what it does, it just emboldens our flesh. What does the Bible say about strongholds? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Our soul is the battlefield. Have no doubt about it. Our soul is the battlefield. Our mind, our will, our emotions is where Satan looks to gain that advantage. Because, listen, that soul is important in our walk with God. It's the pivoting place. Are we going to obey God, or are we going to obey the flesh? That soul is the battlefield. And I'm just telling you, if you want to be a little wiser about how we conduct ourselves in this world, go back to that place. Always visit your mind, your will, and your emotions, and then compare what God's Word says. I think it'll be enlightening for us. Our mind, our will, our emotions is where Satan looks to gain that strategic advantage, to establish a foothold and then fortify into a stronghold, a place that he feels like he can defend. That's the purpose of oppression. That's the purpose of manipulation. That's the purpose of enticement, is to build a stronghold. That's why responding biblically in situations are key, rather than responding emotionally. Responding spiritually, rather than responding logically. Sometimes logic doesn't make sense in God's kingdom. Are you following me? There are some things that doesn't make sense in God's kingdom, but they are perfect sense spiritually, the way we conduct ourselves spiritually. A person who can make you angry, and if you sit on it too long, Satan will gain an advantage. He will gain an advantage, and with that advantage, the more you procrastinate, the greater the issue comes between you. The greater the divide comes, the longer we procrastinate when we have issues in human relationships. They become wider and deeper and much more difficult to repair. Church, there are many of us in this room that are living below the standard of God's blessing in our lives. I believe that we've allowed that because of Satan has a foothold in our lives in some places. Listen, procrastination and disobedience are a great advantage for a foothold. For Satan gaining a foothold, procrastination and disobedience is something that he loves and something that is necessary. You know, by human beings by nature, we tend to procrastinate, don't we? We tend to put off what we can do immediately. This is the thing. The world says this: do what you want, do what you feel, do what you think. If it makes you feel good, if it makes you happy, then do it. But that's exactly the opposite of what we're called to as children of God. We're called to bring our flesh into submission to God. Amen? Satan, some of us have allowed him to gain a foothold in our lives. And some of us have allowed him to not only gain a foothold, but he's established a stronghold. And we've got to deal with those strongholds. Why? Because those strongholds rob, they take, they steal what God would have to bless, what God would have for us. Those strongholds, it just sucks all of our energy. If you've ever dealt with a stronghold in your life, you know this, that your prayer life suffers, even though you could be praying every day. Your devotion life could suffer because all you're doing is concentrate on how to deal with that stronghold. It is like a black hole. It will suck all the spiritual strength out of you. Because all you do or you're doing is you're trying to defend or you're trying to break down those walls. And I'm just giving you that we've got to be very careful not to allow those positions to be fortified in our lives. Let me give you an example. If you're easily offended, you likely have a stronghold that you're dealing with. If you're offended easily, Satan has gained a foothold in your life. Everybody's offended. No, they're not. Not everybody is. You know, sometimes people get offended over the smallest thing. You can say something, and what it does is it's something small, something insignificant. Sometimes it's a miscommunication, and all of a sudden a wall goes up, and it's blown out of proportion. Why is that? There's a stronghold, that's why. There's at least a foot in the door, I can tell you that. When someone offends us, if tensions arise, if the first thing is that we think this, these things go through our mind, is this, that... Why is everybody against me? Those kind of sentences are great indicators that you have a problem to deal with. See, if the problem is first with everyone else, that's the problem. Boy, I know this is tough, but I want you to stick with me. With a wall of offense comes conflict, and there's nothing you can do right. It just seems like I'm always doing wrong. There's a foothold, church. There's a stronghold that's involved. You may have opened the door, and Satan has established a stronghold. Your soul has walled up everything emotionally, and you're defending it with your feelings. If that's the way it is, that's a stronghold. No, you're not crazy. No, you're not unstable. No, not everyone is gunning for you. You're just dealing with a stronghold. Listen, the best thing is this, for me to say this, is to identify the stronghold so you can deal with it. Church, we have got to be careful about taking every thought captive and preventing strongholds from developing. I mean, that's why Paul was adamant that we are to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Some of us listen to opinions too much. Some of us listen to what people say too much. We should be listening to what God says. Why not listen to what the Word of God says about you? What does the Word of God say about us? Yet in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Are you more than a conqueror? Ask yourself, am I more than a conqueror? That should not be some empty blank statement. You should take that personal. Am I more than a conqueror through Christ? The reason Satan wants to gain a foothold in our lives is so that he can establish a stronghold, and with that stronghold, he can wage war against the soul, oppress, and spiritually become weary, and that's when we have self-defeat. See, again, Satan can't steal from you. He can't unless you allow. When Satan forms a stronghold in our soul, that stronghold gains influence in our lives. It dictates our thinking. It affects our emotions, and we become captive. John 8:36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Think about that for a second. Are you free? Are you free? Are you more than a conqueror? Are you establishing the kingdom of God in your life, in your heart, in your mind? Or has the enemy gained a foothold and the kingdom of God is no longer being expanded in you or through you? Have you ceased to produce spiritual fruit? See, if these things are occurring, then a stronghold is probably involved somewhere in our lives. You know, when we're dealing with strongholds, I've found this out, that I think that what happens, especially in Pentecostal churches, is we deal with strongholds, and I think the altar is a good place to deal with the stronghold. I do believe that. But I want to say this, that if you're, and realize where a stronghold is in your soul. So therefore, it's going to encompass your will. Now, it may be emotionally based, but at the core of it is the soul, the me, the I, the it, whatever, me personally. And you know, no one can lay hands on you and counteract that. If Satan can't steal, God can't make you saved, and Satan can't make you unsaved, right? So it comes down to personal responsibility always when you're dealing with strongholds. When you're dealing with a stronghold, it was always going to come back down to a personal responsibility. A stronghold can't be established unless you've opened the door. When we're dealing with footholds and strongholds, I think we tend, again, to forget about that personal responsibility that we have. And if you're going to demolish any type of stronghold in your life, repentance is going to be key. See, this is what your mind will say to you. Why do I need to repent when this has happened to me? That's because we're not, see what the flesh does, it does not want to be personally responsible for its actions. How many of you, when you were younger, something happened? Did you do that? No. It's the flesh. It's a natural tendency of the flesh. And we can make excuses, well, that's just human nature. But that's not the nature God intends us to live by. God calls us to live according to the Spirit. Repentance. Repentance is key in closing, demolishing strongholds and closing any door that the devil may have opened with his foot, a foothold. Sacrifice. Yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit will lead to victory. But again, repentance, sacrificing your feelings, putting them on the altar. Well, this person did this and that person done that. You got to lay it down, friend, or you're not going to have freedom. The Holy Spirit is not going to, I wish I could lay hands on you and the Holy Spirit would overshadow all that, but what that does is deny personal responsibility. He's not going to do that. If that was the case, we have to go back to the Garden of Eden and write history all over again. We can say a prayer. We can have hands laid on us, the prayer, pray the prayer of faith. We can slobber oil all over us. We can speak every kind of confession over us, but they are powerless unless a person repents and takes responsibility. A foothold can be prevented if we act in obedience towards God's word. A foothold can be prevented if we act in obedience to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help us. He will help us prevent footholds from being established, but he will not circumvent our will. Let me say this. If you have an issue with lust, then you shouldn't be entertaining media that has flesh. Don't be surprised if a stronghold of sexual issues is not established. Listen, if you like to exaggerate, if you like to gossip, if you like to stretch the truth a bit, don't be surprised when you don't have a lot of close relationships. Surprised when you feel isolated. It's a foothold. It's a stronghold. What if you're experiencing the effects of a foothold or a stronghold? What can we do to demolish those? What can we do to close the door on those footholds? Well, I'm going to quickly go back through 2 Corinthians 10:3, and then I'm going to close. For we, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Number one is you got to get out of the flesh. There is no way you're going to defeat Satan in this area unless you close the door on the flesh. And that's a matter of obedience, and obedience is a true ingredient of faith. You must choose to live your life, a spiritual life, governing yourself under the power of the Holy Spirit, and not to govern yourself by the flesh. Again, if we allow ourselves to be governed by our flesh, our mind, our will, our emotions, we're going to get all messed up. If we allow ourselves to be led by ungodly counsel, by desires, by our, even our intellect, it's going to come up to be a problem. That stronghold's going to remain. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They don't belong to the flesh. But mighty what? In God, in Christ. For what? The pulling down of strongholds. Victory cannot be attained by a self-help book. The problem is a soulish matter. Victory comes through the Holy Spirit. In Christ, in right relationship, in correct relational position, the weapons of God are mighty. Let me ask you this. Wouldn't it be silly if we went to war and we didn't use the full arsenal of what we had available to us? I'm just saying this. Wouldn't it be foolish for us to lose a war, a spiritual war, and not take advantage of the arsenal that is available to us in God, in Christ? Casting down arguments, verse 5, and every high thing. Arguments is the Greek word. It's a Greek word that's the same as where we get logic. We must demolish our flesh and its desires, which is contrary to God's word. Demolish them. Take them apart. Obliterate them. How do we do that? I believe that begins with repentance. That begins with coming to the altar, laying those things on the altar of sacrifice. Saying, God, I can't do this on my own strength. I can't get free from these. The door's open. The pressure is immense. I can't do it in my own self. And that's where God can say, hey, listen, I can help you there. There are a variety of strongholds we can deal with, personally and corporately. And generally, when there's strongholds that are visible corporately, generally within that body there are some strongholds in lives individually.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray that you are blessed and your faith encouraged. If you're not attending a house of worship and you are looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunity for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351, or our web address is www.holtag.org. Or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.